Well, the title of the message, Assurance of Discernment. And what it's really talking about is if you're in the Word and the Word is in you, you're going to have discernment as to what is truth, what is not. And, you know, there's a lot of people over the years, you know, they say, how do you, you know, especially skeptics, ones that, you know, there's all these different religions. And they say, how do you know which one's the right one? And, you know, and I say it every so often, I say it over and over again from time to time, is it's not about religion, it's about relationship. It's not the name on the sign out front that's important. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and what you do with that, what you do with that person in your life that matters. And, you know, there's a lot of flavors. And I think I showed this on Wednesday night during one of the things. I found it kind of funny. Classic service at 8 a.m., the contemporary service at 9, the mid-century modern service at 10, the postmodern service at 11, the boomers at noon, the millennials at 1, the blended service at 2, and then the happy hours at 4. So, you know, there's obviously, you know, it's a joke, but you know, there's a lot of flavors out there, and there's a lot of different ways of looking at things, and people get confused. I mean, it's like, what is truth and what is not truth? And that's why I had Del read, you know, out of 2 Timothy to open this thing up. He says, and I'm going to start right there before I get into the rest of the message out of 1 John, but I solemnly charge you, he tells Timothy, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead. You know, he throws that in there. He's going to judge the living and the dead. And because of his appearing and his kingdom, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether it's convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, encourage with great patience and teaching, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, you know, what they want to hear. A lot of people, you know, they don't want to come to a place where they're going to hear something they don't want to hear. And he says, according to their own desires, they're going to multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. And they will turn away from hearing the truth. And they will turn aside to myths. So in other words, you got the truth here, and everything else that is not truth is a myth. It's false. And they're going to turn from truth to something that's not truth. And fortunately for us, we have the whole truth. You know, in Paul's day, they were still writing. You know, the Holy Spirit was still empowering him to write parts of the Word of God. But we have the whole thing. And we don't have to be in doubt. And there's a lot of things being preached today. There's a lot of things being preached. And being taught. And there's a lot of people who choose to listen to only what they want to hear. But if people really want truth, they need to go here. And you know what? It is our responsibility as his children, as his ambassadors, to, when we have the opportunity, to give them truth, to give people truth. Because they are curious. They are wondering. You ever wonder why so many different crazy stuff people believe? You know? I'm not even talking about stuff that just slightly, in a sense, slightly skews the truth. But I mean, you know, remember the comet Kohoutek? You know, it was a comet that came through, I think it was the 80s or something. And there was people, they thought, you know, that was it. This is the end of the world. And they sold everything they had and they went up on a mountaintop because there was, when this comet came by, you know, there was like aliens hiding behind it or something, and they were going to pick them up off this mountain. Now, I mean, that is just totally crazy. But the point I'm trying, you know, and we would sit here and go, phew, you know, who would believe this? But the point is, people did. People did believe that. And then we had the guy, you know, and that's kind of out there, but then you had the guy up in the Bay Area about 10 years ago that announced the end of the world. It was actually going to be on my brother's son's, my nephew's birthday. It was December 21st. That was going to be the end of the world. And so my brother sent an email out and said, don't bother celebrating Garrett's birthday because, you know, we're not going to be here. And it was all tongue in cheek. He, my brother didn't believe that. It was just like, okay, another one, right? And then that day came and went, obviously. And then the guy said, oh, I miscalculated. You know, they always miscalculate. But people believed it. There was people that followed this guy that sold everything they had because, you know what, don't need it after December 21st. And the point I'm making is there is a hole. There's a hole in every heart that's meant to cause you to yearn for truth. It's meant to cause you to seek God. You know, that only God can fulfill this hole. And yet, you know, we're so messed up, we're ready to believe people in general, not us specifically, but mankind is ready to believe all kinds of stuff because we have this something within us that God intended to draw us to Him, and of course, it gets skewed. It gets turned aside unto myths, as Paul wrote. And so, how do we know? I mean, you know, because there are some pretty, you know, there's some obvious stuff like Cahotec, okay, you know. But then there's other things that sound really good. You know, I mean, they're very persuasive and they make sense. And so how do you tell the difference? And so that's where we come to John writing in the book of 1 John, as we call it, in chapter 4. And we're going to have the first 6 verses. And he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is coming and he is already in the world now. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in us, I'm quoting King James because I've heard that verse some, but because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, which is a powerful verse and a comforting one as well. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. From this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. And so that's the passage for today. And so, you know, John kind of breaks this down for us. And there's a ton of truth in these 6 verses, and we're going to look at it. And the first one is, test the spirit. Test the spirits. And you're going to note that in my outline and in yours as well, I have either spirit in small letters or spirit in capital letters. Capital letters is the Holy Spirit, the one that we listen to or should listen to. And the other is just spirits, because there are other spirits, folks. There's other spirits that try to deceive, that try to kill, that try to destroy. And that's what they do. And so he's saying, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe it. You know, we're given a warning. Don't believe every spirit. Just because it sounds good, just because the guy is dressed nice and looks good and he's got a following, okay? Don't believe every spirit. And we're given an assignment. You know, we're given a warning, but we're given an assignment. Test the spirits. Test them to determine, are they from God? Are they from God? And why? We're given the reason why we have to do this. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, and this was in John's time, you know, back in the first century. And it's remained that way to today, hadn't it? There's false prophets out there today as well. It has never changed. You know, guy comes and he, you know, Jim Jones, remember him? Led a bunch of guys down to South America there. Whole bunch of people, very sincere. Went down there, and they were so deceived, they drank the Kool-Aid. That's how deceived they were. So, you know, we don't make light of this because the spirits are powerful. The deception is great. And that's why God in His Word tells us how to avoid that. How to not be fooled. How to not buy in to something that is not truth. Because there are many false prophets. And so we are to test the spirits, and we are to know the Spirit. Okay? And he says, this is how you know, verse 2, this is how you know. This is not how you guess, or this is not how you wish, or this is not how you hope. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. To know the Spirit, we are given a method. And let me tell you what that method is. He's talking about confessing Christ. Do you, when you hear this guy preach, or girl, as it is today, when they're up there preaching, are they preaching the whole gospel? The whole thing? Because, you know, some people, they preach what we would call the happy part, or the good part, or the pleasant part, or the part we want to hear, the itchy ear part. But then there's the whole other part that is not pleasant. It is not hopeful. It is not what we want to hear. No one wants to hear that there's a judgment and that they could go to hell. No one wants to believe that there's a hell. But we are presented with truth in this word. And so part of how you test the Spirit is this person that's preaching, this person that you're listening to, are they preaching the whole thing? The whole gospel. Because yes, the gospel is tremendous. It's love. It's grace. It's mercy. It's a promise that's beyond your wildest dreams. Oh, that's the good part. But there's also justice and holiness and purity of God that cannot be compromised without a price being paid. And that's the truth also. And people don't want to hear that. They just want to hear all, you know, everybody thinks they're going to heaven. I mean, every single person does. Except for those that just say, oh, I don't believe in any of that. I just think all this is just all there is. But the ones that believe in any kind of afterlife, they all think they're going to heaven because they're good people. Well, I'm a good person. You know, I pay my bills. I take care of my family. You know, there's women out there. I get up every morning and feed my husband before he goes to work. And then I get my kids going. That makes me a good person. And guys are out there going, I take care of my family and I don't beat my wife. And, you know, and I love my kids. And you know, and I've never murdered anybody or never, you know, broke into somebody's home, you know, did a home invasion and killed people. And I'm a good person. But what's the truth say? There is none good. No, not one. That's the truth. That's the part we don't want to hear because we like to think we're pretty good. But there is none good. No, not one. For all have come short of the glory of God. All. All's pretty inclusive. It's all. Everyone have come short. And every one of us knows, no matter how good we are in our own minds, every one of us knows we've done things wrong. Every one of us. We know that. We don't like to think about it. Some of us, in man's eyes, some of us have done worse things than others, in man's eyes. But you know, every one of those sins sent Jesus to the cross in God's eyes. Whether it's the murder or whether it's a lie and everything in between. You know, my friend Bouchon, who came here and spoke at a Valentine dinner a few years ago, you know, he was in prison for murder, and he admitted he did it. And he turned his life over to God while in prison, and you know, miraculously, God got him out of prison. I mean, he really did. And he's got a church in Barstow. He went back to where he committed the murder, in Barstow, and started a church. I mean, every cop there knows him. But God's a God of restoration, folks. And you turn your life over to Him, He makes things okay. He enables you to serve. He enables you to overcome your circumstances. But we are to know the Spirit. And it's talking about the spirit of the person you're listening to. The spirit of what's going on. Whose spirit is there? That's what this is talking about. Know the Spirit. You know, I've walked into rooms before. And I remember one lady in particular in New Mexico, man, she could not stand to be in the room with me. I mean, the minute she opened the door, I was there to work on something. And I mean, the minute she opened the door, it was like, I mean, there was stuff. And she just basically flew the door open and said, "It's in there," and went in the other room. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, you got to tell me what's wrong with it." You know, I mean, she could not wait to get out of there, and she stayed on the other end of the house the whole time. I mean, and there's way more to it than that, but that illustrates that point. You know, there's spirits, folks. And not all of them are from God. And you got to be discerning. And so we're given a method. You know, when you see someone up there and they're teaching, are they teaching the whole gospel? The whole truth? Because, you know, sometimes I don't like what the guy says. You know, people come up sometimes and they'll say, after I've spoken, "You were meddling today." Well, you know, that's, you know, not me meddling. That was the Spirit meddling with you because you got something going on and you didn't want to hear it. But God, you know, He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Do you understand that? And so He will bring things out in a message and affect you with it. That's the Spirit's. And that is the Spirit working in you. When you feel like, you know, how could He have preached on that? He doesn't know. Well, God knows. So He made me say something that, you know, I didn't know what I was saying in that sense that it was right for you. But God knew. And God does it. So know the Spirit, the real Spirit. Verse 3, though, don't be ignorant of the little spirit, okay, the small letter spirit. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. This is not, okay, you have heard that He is coming and He is already in the world now. The spirit of the Antichrist is here, folks. It's been here. It was there. You know, Antichrist, it's real. And if you want to really understand it maybe a little better, it's the anti-Christian spirit. I mean, that's really, maybe it make it help it make a little sense. And it's been here since the beginning. You know, when Satan confronted Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, there was an anti-Christian spirit there. And then you look at how wicked the world got. Do you think that was just by accident, or do you think there was an anti-Christian spirit at work? And then God destroyed the world in the flood, and it didn't take mankind long, did it? Started building the tower, started, you know, not trusting in the real God, started, you know, elevating their own gods. There's that spirit. And it's here today, folks. It's in the world today. Don't you know it? You better know it. If you're a Christian, you just look at the news. Look at what's going on in our government. And all these crazy laws. I mean, really? You know, we got $19 trillion in debt and craziness going on, and we're fighting over bathroom use? I mean, really? Come on! You know? Gee! You don't think there's a spirit out there that's pulling strings, and the crazier it gets? Don't be ignorant of it, folks. It's real. It's real. I was out on the reservation for 6 years. Let me tell you, it is real. It is absolutely real. So don't be ignorant of it. In verse 4, we have our conquering spirit, the one that resides in every person that's named the name of Christ. Everyone. You are from God. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've confessed that you're a sinner, if you've asked Him to forgive you, and you believe that Christ came and died and rose again on the cross the third day to pay the price for your sin, then you are from God. That's truth, folks. That's the truth. And you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Who is them? You've probably read that. You know, everybody knows that. You know, the one who's greater in me, you know, the one in me is greater than the one who's in the world. We all heard, but it says, you have conquered them. Who's them? Who's them? You know, when you read verses, read them. Who's them? What's he talking about? Spirit of Antichrist. And there's more than one, folks. There's more than one. And they're out there trying to destroy. That's who them is. Because of the power within us, we are overcomers. Not because of our strength, because of His. Gives us the power to overcome. It's the conquering spirit. You know, there are those that do not speak the truth. The Bible says in another place, they have a form of godliness, but they lack the power. You know, they try to say things that sound good enough, but there's no power in what they say because there's no truth in what they say. They skew the truth. And He's already in the world. Of course He is. He's been in the world. But you know what? You are from God. And no matter how nasty, how ugly, how crazy it gets, spirit that is in you has overcome the world. Remember that. Please remember that. Don't let your faith grow weak. And I know sometimes it just seems like, man, you know, what are my kids, what are my grandkids going into? Well, but remember, He who is in you is greater than he is in the world. And remember that. It's the conquering spirit. Bible says in another place, we are more than conquerors. Okay? We are victorious, folks. Claim the victory. Claim the victory. Live like you're in victory. Don't live like you're in defeat. Because our attitude, our life should not reflect what's going on around. I mean, you know, it's pretty dismal out there. It's like, I remember, the other day, it was like a breath of kind of fresh air a little bit. Deb and I, we went to a dinner. It was sponsored by Molina Healthcare. And I didn't know they did this, but like I guess every year they pick I guess from the area. I guess Molina is basically San Bernardino County or LA, you know, just kind of this area, whether it probably bridges Riverside and County and LA County, I'm sure, Orange County maybe. But I guess every year they have people that nominate nonprofits that do community service. And Molina selects winners, and there's this gentleman named CJ that we work with at the Rose of Sharon. He has his own ministry, but he comes and we have guest speakers. All of you know I teach parenting classes there. Well, every class has two parts. It's the part that I teach, but then there's the part we have a guest speaker every week, and he's one of the guest speakers. And he's done a lot of things in the community. Well, he actually won and one of the awards, and there's five winners. And so he wanted us to come down and be at his table. They threw on this whole banquet and everything, and I'm sitting there going, I really don't want to go down here. You know, it was on Thursday night. Normally I'm with the men, you know, in the men's Bible study, and I'd rather be with the men at the men's Bible study than be at this place, you know, probably having bad food and you know, and listen to stuff that I don't really care to hear, you know. But I was really pleasantly surprised. They actually had a pastor, a Christian pastor, come and open it up and in prayer and pray for the food. And I was like, wow, this is Molina, huh? So it was really cool. So I kind of perked up a little. I thought, well, this might not be so bad, you know. And I was thinking, when it was over, when I went into it, I thought it was going to be one of those really empty kind of things where God's not mentioned and, you know, and all that. But it really turned into a really nice evening. And I was glad I was there. You know, I was glad I was there to see it. It kind of gave me some hope that there's still some things out there, you know, that are talking about truth and that kind of thing. And so, but you know, you could be discouraged. There's lots of reasons to be discouraged. But it was really a nice evening, and the food was actually pretty good. That was a bonus. And I mean, they even had asparagus on it, but I even ate that. So, it was actually, I've ate asparagus before. I don't really dislike it. It's just blah to me. But they actually made it, it tasted pretty good. So, go figure. You know? See, God's still working in me too. See? But anyway. But yeah, no, we're not even close to broccoli, John. No, we're not even close. But all that to say, you know, there's a conquering spirit. But you know what was great was before I forget, CJ got up there. It was his time, and he got up there and he just goes. He started quoting scripture. He just stands up there because they all get to say whatever they want. He's like, "Magnify the Lord." He quoted Psalm something. I can't remember which one, but. I mean, it was great. I just sat there, and then everybody just cheered, you know? I mean, it was great. It was great. And I really came out of there, you know, lifted up. It was really nice. Plus, my wife got some flowers to take home, you know, too. Had these huge vases, you know, with, I mean, nice flowers, and they had bunches of them. You should have seen the women. It was like, don't get in the way. You know? But it made me think better of Molina. I really knew nothing of them other than they're a healthcare organization. But it was really cool. So sometimes, you know, it seems dark and you think, you know, and then there's light in the darkness, you know. Sometimes I think we get the Elijah syndrome where we think we're the only one left. And then God shows you, you're not the only one left. I still got a bunch of people that don't bow down to false gods. You know, so that's always encouraging. I don't know. I digress. Maybe that was for somebody. The conquering spirit, the domain of the spirit, small spirit, the domain of the small spirit. Verse 5, they, talking about these people that have the false spirit, they are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world. And the world listens to them. You understand? Don't be surprised when the world acts like the world, talks like the world, does like the world, thinks like the world, because they're the world. And there's spirits working on them. Was it either Elijah? I think it was Elisha. That, you know, the army came and his servant was scared. And he's praising. He says, God, let my servant see what's really going on. And there was all these angels and all this stuff. You know, sometimes we think it's just little old us against this giant world, but it's not. There's a spiritual battle taking place, and we just read the conquering spirit resides in us. The one that conquers resides in us. And you got to remember that. But that domain is the world. You know, people are naturally drawn to the world, even Christians. Our sin nature, which unfortunately we still have, is naturally drawn. People want to be successful. People want to be wealthy. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with those being successful or wealthy. But we tend to pursue those things. We want to be knowledgeable. We want to be accepted. And many false teachings will tap into our flesh. They tap into things our flesh desires. It could be, three basic things are what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Those three things, we feed into that real easy. We have to be on guard. The world is seductive. And it entices us to place our trust in it rather than on God. Is that not what's happening in our country? Or has already happened, really? People are trusting the government. The government's going to take care of me. That's what they say. Government's going to take care of me. What about God? Where does God fit into that? I've talked to some people, and I've got, you may shoot me, and that's okay. Go right ahead. You can't threaten me with heaven. But, I mean, if you shoot me, just kill me, okay? Don't just wound me, okay? So I can just go. But, I've said, Social Security was not the best thing for this country. And I've had Christians, they get angry. Well, if I didn't have that, I'd be done. Really? So you don't believe in God? You don't think God's going to take care of you? You don't think God is able to take care of you? I'm not saying that, they should pull the rug out from under it. I mean, I've paid into it my whole life too, folks. Okay? Not by choice. And if I got something coming because I paid into something, I certainly want it. I'm just saying it wasn't the best thing for our country. Because what does the Bible say? What does the truth say? The truth says, if you're a widow, you need to get married again, unless you're a certain age. And if you're over a certain age, then guess what? Your children should take care of you. But if you don't have any children, then the church should take care of you. Now, that's God's program. That's truth. Now, look what we got going on. Is it a mess or what? I mean, it's an absolute mess. I think a poor Al over here needs a heart procedure badly. Oh, we can't get to you till the middle of June. This is our system. And I'm sure every one of you's got family or friends or somebody that has had horror stories as well. When we go against God's ways, we open ourselves up for problems. And that's the world. When we go the world's ways, it's problems. Because life has problems anyway. That's part of life. But we make the problems worse when we get out from under God. And so, hey, you got Social Security, I'm glad. Take the money. You deserve it, okay? You paid into the thing. But don't put your trust there. If that's what you're banking on, if your eggs are in that basket, the Bible says, he who trusts in his riches is foolish. Because we're one bad move away from bankruptcy in this country. And then all that money that was supposedly set aside, and you may even have invested somewhere, it's going to be nada, nothing. If this economy collapses, and I'm not trying to be, you know, doom and gloom and all that, but man, it's reality. And you know what? If it happens, I hope it doesn't. I mean, I hope they fix it. I hope whatever. But you know what? If it happens, where are your eggs? What basket you got your eggs in? I hope it's God. The domain of the spirit. Just remember, the world and its systems, that's the domain of the spirit we're talking about. The spirit of the anti-Christian. That's the domain. For now. Till God makes it right. And he will. But in the meantime, we got to live here. And we need not be fooled. We need not be fooled. We can discern the spirit from the spirit. Okay? Verse 6. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. From this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. People who know God. Now think, you know, it says, we know God. We are from God. Anyone who knows God. What does it mean to know God? I mean, you got to think about these things. Do you know God? You know, if I know something, you know, I know my wife. What does that mean? It means I know her personality. You know, I know how likely what her decision will be, as much as a man can know a woman's mind. Okay. You know, people that know God, they know what? They know his love. They know his mercy. They know his grace. They know his purity. They know his holiness. They know his sense of justice. That's knowing God, folks. They know his word, what he says. You know, I know my wife. I recognize her voice. You know, I can hear her voice. You know, there's a group of people up here singing, and my wife's among them. I can pick her voice out. Everybody's got all these microphones. I can still hear her voice. Do you understand? There's a lot of voices speaking out to you. Can you pick out God? Do you know him? Do you hear his voice? That's what Jesus said, right? He said, my sheep, they know my voice, and they follow me. Do you know God? Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. You ever, you know, somebody can have a form of godliness. They can have they seem like they're whatever, but, you know, and you hear something they say and you know it's not right. And so you approach them. And they, you know what? If they're open, because you know what? We're human. Everybody, you know, I can make a mistake. I like the way the politicians put it. I misspoke. You know, I can misspeak. That kind of thing. But you know what? If you share with me what the word says, I'll listen. But there's other people. They got their mind made up. They're, you know, they pre. But and if you have a counterpoint, they won't even listen. That's a warning signal, folks. You know, we all can learn. I don't care how much you study or how much you read or how much you know. We all can learn. All can learn. He says, anyone who knows God listens, and anyone who's not from God doesn't listen. And from this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. We can see what is truth and we can see what is not. Even if it seems, you know, because, you know, that's how Satan works, you know. He twists it just enough. There's just enough truth in there to make it look good. But you got to look at it. And you know what? Your Holy Spirit, the one that's in you, same one that's in me, same one that's in all of us that have accepted Christ, he points it out. You'll just say, man, that just, maybe you don't know exactly, but you'll just go, man, that just doesn't seem right. That just doesn't sound right. And if you don't know, maybe you're driven to go look in the book or go look, you know, maybe find somebody that you know, that you trust, that you can talk to. Maybe they got some insight on that. Maybe it's an area you hadn't really paid attention to before. But you'll know. When you hear it, it's like, something. There's something with that I don't like. And I need to investigate. You know, I try not to do it from this. I try to do it from this. What does this say? What does the Word of God say? You know, and I've heard people say, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Okay? God said it, that settles it, folks. Whether or not you believe it really doesn't affect God in that way. Oh, I can see God up there. Oh, I'm sure I'm glad Mike bought into that because, man, that settled it when Mike bought in. No. No. So we can discern. This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. This is Paul writing, because the Galatians were drifting away from truth. They were being taught false doctrine. And he says, Paul says, I am amazed. And you know what? I think God, I mean, if God can be amazed, I don't know that God can really be amazed. He's amazing, but I don't know that he can be amazed. But I think God shakes his head like, man, I give these people truth and look at them. They run away from my word. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him, Jesus, who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. A different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, because there isn't. There's only one. But there are some who are troubling you and want to change the good news about the Messiah. You know, there's people out there that will try to trouble you. They'll attack what you believe. They'll say, well, you know, you're on the right track, but, you know, you got it wrong in this area. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. A curse be on him. And to make the point, Paul says it again in the next verse. As we have said before, when? The last verse. I say again. If anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. And I like this, verse 10. For I am now trying to win the favor. Am I now trying to win the favor of people or God? Who are you trying to please? You trying to get people to like you? Or do you want to please your Heavenly Father? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ. It's just that simple. You know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to offend them. We, you know, boy, if I preach the truth, we might have a visitor here today and they might not come back. And I'm sad to say that there are people in pulpits that's what they do. They try not to say anything that will offend anybody. But we need to understand, folks, you know, and I don't go out of my way to offend somebody. Because the Bible says how we should treat others as well. But you know what? You're not doing them a favor by not giving them the truth. You're not doing anybody any favors by holding back. Because you know what? This word is offensive. Nobody wants to hear they're going to hell. And if they do believe in there's a hell, they don't want to believe that they're going there. And there's a lot of prosperity preaching that takes place. That feeds into our desires too. Oh, I'll just go here and, you know, I mean, I hear these guys on the radio, just send me this money, I'll send you a prayer cloth. You know, Really? It's all contingent on me giving you money? Is that really? And I've heard some say, well, I just have the gift of encouragement, and all I do is encourage. Well, yeah, I mean, we do need to encourage, but we also need to speak the truth in love as well. And you can build a big church by telling everybody what they want to hear and not confronting anybody with anything that's in their life. Church of easy believism. But I'm here to tell you, as long as I speak, it's going to be the whole truth and not anything else. Just the truth. You know, and I don't want to punch you in the eye or anything like that, but, you know, I don't want to knock you out. But I want you to hear the truth, and I want you to receive it, because you know what? Maybe I'm a little selfish, but I don't want blood on my hands. And I don't want anyone to ever sit in a service and say that they did not hear the truth. I don't ever want to hear that. I don't ever want to be responsible for that. Because you know what? I'm not trying to please you guys. Now, do I want you to be pleased with me? Yeah. but I'm not here to please you. I'm here to give you truth, because the truth's what we need. We're dying for lack of truth. And sugarcoating stuff and you know, not, you know, trying not to offend people, you're not doing them a favor, because they're going to be all happy with themselves until the day they die and they face the Lord and they find out, I never knew you. Depart from me, worker of iniquity. That will not be a good day. Will not be a good day. The anti-Christian spirit has always been working to deceive the church and render it ineffective for the cause of Christ. That's what Satan does, folks. You know, once you accept Christ, he's lost you. Okay? He can't have you anymore, but he can sure mess you up so that you can't help someone else. That's what he does. He doesn't leave you alone because you're a Christian. He even tries harder to make you say, look at that guy. You know, he says he's a Christian. You know, and the world says this, unfortunately. I'm better than they are. And a lot of times they are. Always working to deceive the church and render it ineffective. It is vital that every Christian know God. Really know him. Really know him. And his word. That we are not surprised, that we are not surprised, that we are not discouraged, that we are not deceived by the spirit of deception. The more we see this spirit work in the world, the more we should understand that the Word of God is true. You know, when you see all this stuff happening, does it not say that's going to happen? You know, read in Timothy when he says in the last days what it looks like. Are we not seeing that? When we see all this stuff happening, do I like it? No, but you know what? It enhances my faith that this word is true. Those parts of the word, you know, in the New Testament are 2,000 years old. And it's true. It's happening. And it just makes me believe it more. The more we see this spirit, this small spirit, this not God spirit, work in the world, the more we should understand that the Word of God is true, and the need for us to stand on God's Word and share it is of the greatest importance. It's of the greatest importance, because there's people out there dying without knowledge, dying without truth. They have a form of truth in their head, what they think is truth. They think they have truth. And there's a verse in Matthew, I think it is, just popped in my head. If the truth that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Man, you think about that. Because there's people that have quote-unquote truth, but it's really darkness. And boy, you know how it is. If you talk to those people, it's hard to break through that darkness. How great? Because they're deceived. They're believing a lie. And we have the truth. And we need to share it. And we need to be discerning as to what is truth and what is sometimes cleverly conceived lies that comes our way. that deceives, yes, even Christians. And that's why John wrote this, that we be not deceived. Maybe there's someone in the room here today that has been deceived. You've been deceived into thinking you're okay. You're okay. Because you went through some ceremony when you were a kid or whatever, or your parents have just always told you, yeah, you prayed a prayer when you were 5 years old, so you're okay. Let me ask you something. What's the Spirit telling you right now? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's been seeking after you. What has that Spirit been telling you? Is He telling you you're not okay? Then you need to act upon it. Don't let the anti-Christian spirit have his way with you. You let the Holy Spirit have his way with you, and you'll see something happen. You'll see something happen. Or there could be some here that maybe you know, a lot of people in this room have been Christians a long time. You probably know this word pretty good. But let me ask you, how do you share it? Do you share it? Who's God brought across your path that needs truth, real truth? Real truth that you have. And you need to share it. And I know there's been some that God brought my way. I'll be the first to admit. And I didn't say anything. I made 1,000 excuses. I've done that. And I've asked God to forgive me. Because you know what? It's a rebellion. You know, if God's telling you to say something to somebody and you don't do it, what is that? It's a rebellion. And I've done that. But God, I've asked God to forgive me, and He brings me other people, and I do share. You know, it's just a growing thing. You grow. But where are you at? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? What has He brought to your mind? And what do you need to do different? If you have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today that say, Brother Mike, I do not, God has revealed to me, because He is the one that reveals, I have not asked God to forgive me. I have not admitted I was a sinner. I have not got a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I've never asked Him to forgive me and save me. Anybody like that? I've never done that. I may have done it in action in the past, but it wasn't real. Anybody like that? Now, for the rest of us, I don't even have a question for you other than, what has God brought to your mind this morning? What has the Spirit of truth brought to your mind that you need to act upon? This is your time to act upon it. As Kathy plays, you do business with God, the Spirit of truth, right now. Father, Lord God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for John writing these words so many years ago for our benefit, that as we face the world, as we face the spirit of Antichrist that tries to deceive and distort Your truth, Lord, that we can know the truth, that we can be steadfast, that we can stand for You unwavering. And Lord, that we have the knowledge that You've given us of You and Your ways and your word and your message that we can share with others, that they would come to a saving knowledge of you through your Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who has overcome the world. Thank you, Lord, for loving us just as we are, our fallacies, our frailties, our, in a lot of times, just our wickedness, Lord, just the things we think and we do out of emotion or desperation. Lord, thank you for being bigger than all of that. Thank you for the power that you have to forgive and the free access we have to you through your Son. Lord God, help us to be the witnesses for you that you've created us to be. Help us, Lord, not to be turned one side to the other, but to stay on the path that you've set before us. Thank you for the wisdom you've given us to see that path. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.